we're keeping a close eye on as well, just this relationship between the federal government and states and then trickle down to cities and towns. And we got 169 of them here in Connecticut. And there's just a lot of nervousness about budgets and taxes and, you know, the impact of less federal spending. What's going to be the impact on your town and your property taxes, perhaps? And it'll be a big conversation later with Hartford Mayor Arunan Arulampalam. And right now I want to welcome in Joseph DeLong. He's the Executive Director of the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities, joining us here on Brian & Company. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. Hey, we made it to hump day, so I'm doing well.
Yeah, yeah, it is Wednesday. I didn't work Monday, so, man, I love the four-day work week. But, you know, the cities and towns you serve, I think it's, what, all but one? And I know there's, like, a story there. But how nervous are your cities and towns about their budgets right now?
Well, you know, I think nervous is an interesting word. I mean, I think they're very nervous about it. But I think the nervousness, you know, just comes more from these mayors and council members and board of finance people. Like, you know, they live in these communities and they deal with their residents every day. So I think there's a lot of just concern for the impact on their communities and the impact on real people's lives, whether it be through increased property taxes or whether it be through, you know, reductions in quality of life and a loss of services. So, I mean, I think there's just a lot of anxiety right now.
Is there any clarity about how much less money we're going to, like, cities and towns are going to get? Are they just sitting there sort of waiting?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the biggest challenges, Brian, that we've had, of course, there's uncertainty in Washington, and we know that. But to some degree, that uncertainty in Washington is becoming a cover or a mask for what has been going on in Connecticut. And, you know, if you look, the president, his policies, whether you agree or disagree with them, part of the policy is to sort of defund public education at the federal level and to push those responsibilities down to the states.
Right.
Well, for the last 6 years, the state has actually been defunding education at the state level and pushing those responsibilities more down onto our towns and cities. So you have this, now you have this downward pressure not only from the federal government, but it's compounded by the downward pressure that we've had from the state government to the tune of, I think the Boston Consulting Group, when they did an analysis on this, since 2017, the state government has reduced public education spending to towns and cities in real dollars to the tune of about $407 million. So that's really $407 million that's been taken out of the income tax and pushed directly into the property tax.
Well, that sort of leads me to that next question, and I have a bunch of other ones, but we're talking with Joseph DeLong, Executive Director of the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities. Basically, mayors are saying, like, they have no choice but to raise property taxes.
Well, they have no choice. They're forced to, except in some cases. We do have a couple cities, small cities, for example. Norwich is talking about cutting 10% of its workforce. The city of New London, who the mayor has said, and I give him credit for this very publicly, he said, listen, I can't raise property taxes. Like, I'm going to increase my homelessness population if I do. My residents are taxed out. So they're basically cutting all things that would be considered, like, you know, quality of life type issues in Norwich. Even things like the Sail Fest that's been there for years, they basically, for all intents and purposes, eliminated it. So you're either seeing some pretty drastic property tax increases. You know, we've seen some 19%, some over 12, some over 7. So you're seeing that in the areas that say, we really don't want to gut our services completely. We want to try to find a way to do this. And the other end of the extreme are the people who are saying, we simply can't tax anymore. We have to gut our services.
Right.
So it really goes to both ends of the spectrum.
Well, I mean, that was, again, like, I was going to ask about the impact on other spending, and you just answered it right there. But, I mean, so what's gonna happen here? I mean, listen, you know, the Department of Education stuff, you would, if you follow their words, you would think that they would maybe do some more direct funding to cities and towns, since they're going to eliminate basically the department. But it doesn't look like they're going to funnel more funds directly down. And you talked about the state level spending. So, I mean, that's just education. We haven't even talked about housing and some other stuff. I mean, I guess are towns and cities going to be in some sort of crisis mode if this is what's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, if the pressure continues, it's certainly not sustainable. We already have a tax structure, which is a whole different conversation, but we already have a tax structure that puts an emphasis on property taxes or has an over-reliance on property taxes more than what other states do. But now, compounding that, we have state and federal policy that is pushing more and more down to the local level, where the only way that it can be absorbed is through the property tax. And so it really is a perfect storm between those two issues, a structure that needs to be restructured, which is, you know, a larger conversation. The state hasn't been able to figure that out for decades, so it's not like that's going to be done this session. But the one thing that can be done this session is there are revenues out there where the state could actually pay its bills to cities and towns, you know, not reduce like it has or make up for some of that reduction in education spending. You know, you have state-owned property in cities and towns that is supposed to be, you know, that's not taxable, and the state's supposed to reimburse those cities 45%. Now, think about that, Brian. It's not a huge amount. They're supposed to reimburse cities and towns 45% for their property that's untaxable. They're $400 million underfunded just on that pilot program. So I think what we're really encouraging the state to do is pay your bills. Like, pay your bills to help out property taxpayers, or be willing to look them in the eye when they get these huge property tax increases and say, hey, just so you know, that's us. That's not your mayor. That's not your board of finance. That's right. State policy that's created that.
Well, we know that things are, I mean, the state, I mean, we know Lamont is very conservative now, especially with the unknowns budget-wise of what the federal government's going to spend. I mean, what sort of feedback are you getting at the Capitol?
You know, I mean, I think there's a lot of, first of all, there's a lot of misconceptions about this whole thing with the guardrails. I know that that Governor Lamont used the term that they're sacrosanct. They were done in the 11th hour in 2017 in a last-minute budget deal, and everybody who was a part of that, and I was around at that time, knew that those things were going to have to be modified, that they weren't sacrosanct, that in concept, they were an incredibly important concept, but one that was being put together at the last minute that would have to be adjusted. I think the General Assembly and the governor, first off, have to sit back and say, are these things working the way that they're intended? Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. We need to have fiscal controls, but let's make sure that we're modifying those fiscal controls so we're not causing more harm and more pain in other areas. And then the other thing that I would always get back to, which people kind of like to ignore, is when you talk about priorities and prioritizing spending, public education is the one priority that's actually defined and protected in the state's constitution. And I would say that, you know, out of all of the priorities, we are deprioritizing the one that our constitution actually defines and protects the most. Yeah. And I think that is a dangerous path for us to continue to go down.
I mean, education is so complicated because it's not just about the money that needs to be fixed to fix our public education. And I think that the guardrail conversation changed when the Trump administration took over and it was clear what they were going to do. I think the rules of engagement might be different now with all the concerns about federal money and Medicaid. But I want to keep talking, Mr. DeLong. I think that there's a lot of really important things for our listeners and for people in Connecticut to know about, as you know, things are going to get expensive everywhere for a lot of people who work hard and have trouble making ends meet now. So thank you so much for your time.
Brian, thank you. I appreciate it. You have a great rest of the week.